After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there at the Jerusalem, by the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Lord, we love you. Thank you for being so good to us. Thank you for what you've done already this morning, and thank you for what you're getting ready to do, Lord. You speak to hearts, God, as only you can. Holy Spirit, you move personally with every pew, every person right now. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach just a little while on the thought of no good days until Jesus. Amen. Me and Dallas was talking yesterday, and you know, if we ain't careful, we get down. We all do. We have a rough week. We have a rough month, a rough year. But I'm going to be honest with you, most of us ain't had a rough life. This man, 38 years, had not one good day. He woke up in the morning frustrated, went to bed at night frustrated. Amen. 38 years every morning, but one day Jesus showed up, glory to God. How many remember when Jesus showed up for you? Amen. It's amazing to me that after Jesus shows up, he had a pretty good day, amen. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. Some of us can say we've had some good days, and some of us can say we've had some good moments. Some of us can actually say that even before we got saved, we had a pretty decent life. But hey, everything picked up when Jesus showed up, amen. I don't care how good you thought you were. I don't care how moral you think you are. Hey, everything got better when Jesus showed up. Don't you just look at just a few things this morning, and please let the Spirit speak to you this morning. Somebody's come here this morning dejected, discouraged, down, thinking everything's just falling apart. But guess what? He's still on the throne. Amen. This man had a life defined by misery. The Bible says in verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. It was not a bad season. It was a bad life. Amen. I talked to someone just a few years ago, and they were telling me, and I was asking them a question, and they were talking to me, and this is something they said to me. They said, I don't have one memory of a good memory in my lifetime of being married. Amen. I thought, what an awful thing to say. Not one good memory of a marriage. Why in the world? Think about it. His condition wasn't just physical. His condition was his identity. The Bible says a certain man, it don't call his name. And as I was thinking about this and studying on this, you know, we have blind Bartimaeus. He was known by his condition. We have Rahab the harlot. She was known by her condition. We have the woman with the issue of blood. She was known by her condition, not by her name, but by her condition. And if we're not careful, we come into God's house and we sit here, and if all you got on your mind is what's going on and what's wrong, you're known by the condition that you're in. But Jesus ain't looking at your condition. Jesus knows what you can be this morning. You can live a long time without ever really living. You hear what I said? I said, you can live a long time without ever really living. But I'm telling you, folks, if you get a hold of Jesus, amen, you'll have something to live for, amen. If you'll just get a hold of him. He was surrounded by others, but he was still hopeless. The Bible said there was a multitude of people there in verse 3. And these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. I remember preaching one time, you know, if you want to get better, don't hang around with the sick people. If I want to get better, I want to get with somebody that's got something going on, amen. This guy, he was going to the same place because there was healing there, but just not for everybody. Think about that. There was healing there, but not forever. He was in the right place for a long time, but did not get healed. Now, there's some folks that come to church, and I just don't understand it. They come to church, and they just sit there, Brother Melvin. They know there's help. They know there's help at the altar. They know there's healing at the altar. They know that Jesus has got something for them, but they sit in the pew, and they leave, and they come back, and they leave, and they come back, and they leave, and they come back, and never get help. Why in the world? It's almost like somebody going to the doctor's office, sitting out there in the waiting room, and they come out and say, Clint Hunter, and Clint just sits there. There's already been folks that got help this morning around this altar. Whatever you're going through today, whatever, I'm telling you, it can be a good day today. It can be a great day today, but you got to do something. He had religion, but no relationship. He was surrounded by religion. He was in Jerusalem. Don't you know that the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees probably came by this way every day? Every day. But everybody was waiting for one day, for one certain time, when the angel was going to come down and trouble the water so that they could. This pool represented hope, but it wasn't hope for everybody. Only one person at a time could get it. Aren't you glad you in a church right now? Glory to God. Hey, everybody that's got a need can get it met this morning. Everybody that's got a need of healing can get healed this morning. Everybody, whatever your need is, it don't matter from this side to that side. Every last one of us can get a hold of Jesus.
That's good, preacher.
See, you can sit in church. You can be around preaching. You can be around singing. You can be around worship. You can come in and just sit there, and people all around you raise your hand, and you never get nothing. It's all left up to you. It's all, you say, preacher, that's not what this story is. Oh, yeah, this story is, it was left up to him. Jesus said, wilt thou be made whole?
Yeah.
It's a personal question, and you got to understand something. There was some excuses that kept this man bound down. So what you're talking about, preacher? Number one, he blamed some things. Now, notice what he said. He said, I have no support, no man. There's no man to help me in the pool. Well, bless God, crawl your way over there and get in the pool when it's time to get in the pool. If you got a need, don't worry about what everybody else in this church is doing. Don't worry. They're going to talk about me if I go to that altar. We're going to talk about you if you sit in your seat. We really don't care, amen. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, you need to get out of that seat, get on this altar, and find some help this morning. That don't make sense to me when there's help down here, Wes, and nobody wants to come down and get help. This man was blaming everybody else. Well, there's somebody in my pew. Well, jump the pew.
Amen.
No support. Didn't want to blame his condition. No, the Bible, he said, while I'm coming, I'm just too slow. Well, make your way a little sooner. I'm just too slow. Then he says, he wants to blame everybody else. Somebody else steps down in front of me. Well, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if that was me, for 38 years, I think I could have got close to the water. I'd have been right there. And when I seen that water troubled, I'd have put something in it. It'd have been my finger. It'd have been my toe. It don't matter what it was. I wouldn't have let nobody else get in front of me. I'd have rolled over in it if I had to. You got to understand something. When you need help, don't worry about what everybody else is doing. I was talking to a guy yesterday. called me on the phone, wanted to, please, in this way, tell the church that God answered this prayer. I said, why don't you come tell them? Well, if I come, I just cry. He ain't here this morning. Everybody, it's everybody else's fault. Quit blaming everybody else on your condition. Quit blaming everything else on what you're going through. It's up to you this morning. If you want help this morning, it's here, amen. These excuses kept him bound. Quit. And the thing about it is, a lot of times we ain't careful. We want to justify our condition. Well, I got this going on in my life because of this. I got the, I remember I worked with a guy years ago, Brother Clint. He was a good worker, but he was for lack of a better way to say it, he was shacked up with somebody. They had children together. And I said, Bo, why don't you get married? He said, well, if I get married, they're going to take my check. That's a poor excuse for going to hell. Justifying our condition. Quit justifying your condition and get on an altar and get forgiveness of it. Amen. Understand, Jesus showed up unexpectedly that day. In verse 6, the Bible says when Jesus saw him lie and he knew he'd been there a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Jesus saw, I thought about it as I was studying, why didn't he see Jesus? Obviously, he'd been there 38 years. He knew who Jesus was. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, when Jesus shows up and you got a multitude of impotent and folks and they're laying around it, I'd have quit worrying about the water, glory to God, and I'd have started worrying about the waymaker, amen. And when he shows up, I'd have been calling out on him, hey, Jesus, this is me. I heard what you did for blind Bartimaeus. I heard what you did for Lazarus. Hey, this is me over here. I need help. But Jesus shows up and the man never says anything. And Jesus asked him, wilt thou be made whole? So the question this morning is this. Wilt thou be made whole? What kind of condition you got this morning that you need help with? Jesus shows up. Jesus saw him when everybody else overlooked him. Jesus saw his condition when nobody else was watching, seeing his condition. Everybody else was worried about what they had, Brother Charlie, not what he had. You see, if I'm over here and I'm blind, I'm not worried about the lame man on the other side. But Jesus showed up and saw his need. Jesus knows your need this morning. You can sit in that pew all you want to, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, if you'll get out of that pew, Jesus already knows what you need. If you'll get out of that pew and come down to this altar, God can help you with it. But if you sat there, when he asked the question, wilt thou be made whole? Well, I'm happy where I'm at. I'm happy with my condition. No good days. See, this is a personal question. This is a personal question to each and every person in this room. Each and every person under the sound of my voice. This is a personal question. Wilt thou be made whole? What do you need? Now see, if I went from pew to pew to pew, everybody in here's got a need. Everybody in here's got a need. It don't matter. Everybody in here's got a need. What's your need? What's your need? Gavin, you and Libby, come on back. What's your need this morning?